Today on Real Life Radio.
You want to know what the greatest miracle ever of all time, it will ever be. The greatest miracle that has ever been done and will ever be. The greatest, it tops them all. The day that God came to earth and allowed himself to be born into this world as a human being. That's the biggest miracle of all. He came.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Luke with a message titled, What Faith Has to Say. You know, the book of Luke really shows us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, the physician, really could do. Now here, as we begin chapter 7, we'll see how faith is something people are always talking about, whether we realize it or not. You see, we exercise faith on a daily basis, maybe a company or a person or the economy. We apply faith to things we often assume upon or take for granted. But Jesus wants us to believe that he can do things beyond the ordinary in our lives. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that anything is possible with God. The Lord hears our cries, and he takes notice. When we come to him in faith, he will respond. Now, in his message called What Faith Has to Say, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
There's nobody closer to God than somebody else. Americans are not closer to God. For that matter, Israelis are not closer to God. We go to Israel, you know, and they say, now, when you welcome to Israel, we're glad that you're here, and you pray while you're in our country, you pray all you want, because when you pray here, it's just a local call. Did you get that? Local call when you pray to God closer? No, not really. God says no. Very important. Point number two in our study this morning, verses 6-8, what faith has to say. Faith says we are not worthy. Well, you'd write that down. You say, Jack, what in the world are you saying? Faith says we are not worthy. You say, well, what? Listen, hang on for a second. I know Oprah disagrees with me on this. I know that Dr. Phil disagrees with me on this. The only thing is it's not me that they're disagreeing with. This is the word of God. Watch this. Faith says, I am not worthy. But it says it like this. Are you all watching? Watch this. Faith says, I'm not worthy. Not, I'm not worthy. No, faith says, you know what? I've read the book. I've heard the message. I qualify. I'm not worthy. I can't save myself. I'm not good enough. According to God's standards, I can't make it. Those are the very people whom God rescues. I qualify to be rescued by God. Do any of us this morning feel like we don't deserve heaven? It should be every one of us. Man, if you think, well, you know what? Come on. You got some problems. We don't deserve heaven. But he's going to give it to us. It's amazing. When I look at the Bible, I read, I just go, oh, God, make me more like this guy, or make me more like that woman. You read the life of Deborah. Oh, God, make me like Deborah. Man, I'd be happy to be like Deborah. I mean, she's an amazing chick in the Bible. She believed God and powerful woman. See, the truth of the matter is, none of us are worthy, but that's the wonderful key to Christianity. That's what the Bible teaches. What does Jesus say? The first shall be what? And the last shall be what? The one who gives up his life now, what? Gains it. The Bible says that if we give it back to the Lord, he blesses us. It's a life of holy contradiction. Oh, I want to live an awesome life for God. God says, good, then give me your life. Oh, I'm not talking about blowing yourself up or hurting yourself. God's not interested in that. God says, come to me as a living sacrifice. I want you to live, man. And I'm going to show you how to live. The Bible tells me that when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Are you trying to be good enough? Are you trying to earn your way and keep your record and get the scorecard checked and you got the baptism down? You got the sacrament thing? You got all these qualifications? What are you doing? Where did you get that from? Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Man, today you'll be with me in paradise if you only get baptized. He didn't say that. You know what? I would have loved to have seen you go to paradise today if you only had a baptism record going on with a couple of tithes here and there along the way. And you know you should have done some children ministry time. No. Jesus turned to that thief on the cross and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's so vitally important. Two things I want you to see regarding this man. As we look at faith says we're not worthy, consider this. We're not worthy to have the Lord be part of our lives. That's a fact. He is God, you guys. He's God. He's spirit. Do you want to know what the greatest miracle ever of all time, it will ever be, the greatest miracle that has ever been done and will ever be, the greatest, it tops them all. The day that God came to earth and allowed himself to be born into this world as a human being. That's the biggest miracle of all. He came. God is not a superhuman. The Bible says God is spirit. The Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light. The Bible says in the Old Testament and in the New, by the way, that we cannot see God in these bodies and live. We've got to be changed. Did you know that? Can you imagine the changing that must take place before you and I can see God face to face? Can you imagine? We can only imagine. The Bible says we've got to be changed, that this flesh and blood cannot inherit eternity. We've got to be metamorpho, is the word in Greek, metamorphosed. God does the changing, and that's going to happen. And it will happen, because even though you and I are unworthy of the presence of God and having God be a part of our lives, the truth is God wants us. He wants us to be involved. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. Notice what he says in verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him saying, Lord, listen to his words. Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. What's healthy about this? This man has a true view of himself. Church, listen, this is vital. I know, as I mentioned a moment ago, this is not Oprah and this is not Dr. Phil. This is better. When you understand that God loves you, that Jesus went to the Christ, that's how valuable you are. He died for you and I. And then God says, okay, you know what? You're ready for heaven. I've got you saved. You're ready to go. In the meantime, I want you to reach out and bless other people and show them the way. From that moment on, if we walk around focused on ourselves all the time, that's all we think about. Me, myself, and I. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going? Everywhere I go, there I am. It's all about me. If that's the way we're living, listen up. I know this isn't comfortable to modern psychology, but this will never make you happy. You will never be complete. You will never be happy, ever. There is something that God does supernatural. You can criticize what this biblical truth is all day long. But until you die to what the Bible says yourself, pick up your cross and follow him. Do you know there's nothing more wonderful than to do that? And the world says, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. That's crazy. And it is crazy to them. Until they trust the Lord. They put faith in God. And you do it. So, the unworthiness is an amazing thing. The centurion says, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. And the centurion's view of himself. This is something that God can work with. And God speaks to my heart and he speaks to your heart. And God challenges me. The verse that came to my mind when I was putting this meditation, this thought, this message together is in Galatians 2:16, when the scripture says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. I want to ask you something right now, and this is the eternal, eternal question. If you die today, would you go to heaven? If you don't know, then you're not. Secondly, how are you going to get in? If your question or your response to the question is anything other than the righteousness of Christ, if it's something like, I've attended church all my life, I have voted in every election, I helped grandma across the street, I was an Eagle Scout, Wrong answer. Well, how can you be so sure about that? The Bible says so. The Bible says that the Word of God cuts between the thought and the intent of our very heart. It knows. God knows. And so the question is, Jesus, honestly, I can't even fathom inviting you into my house. This is how that man feels. This is how that centurion feels. Look at number two under this point, verse 7. Faith says we're not worthy enough to be invited into the presence of God. He says, verse 7, therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. Listen to what he says. Instead of him throwing down his sword and ripping his helmet off his head and crying and kicking up the dust, what does he say? He said, Jesus, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Is this not awesome? This is incredible faith. Just say the word. The Bible tells us, by the way, in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3, that the Gentiles shall come to the light of the Lord. That's exactly what's happening to this man. Just say the word, Jesus. His word, Jesus, it's firm. His word, the word of Jesus, you can believe. What does Jesus say? What is Jesus saying to you? What does the Bible say to you? You can believe that. True biblical faith is literally being announced in this man's life. Also, thirdly, under this point, and then we'll move on, faith says we're not worthy enough to have things in our lives changed for us. Faith says, I'm not worthy to have my life be changed by God. But listen, it doesn't give up there. This man says, I'm not worthy for you to come, but just say the word. And I want to make this personal. Faith says, God, I am not worthy of your goodness and of your graces. I'm not worthy to have my life changed, but I know you change lives. So Lord, will you change my life? Church, are you listening right now? Can you even think that in your mind right now? Can you think that? Can you just think, Lord, I am not worthy of your greatness in my life. I'm not worthy, Lord, to have you change my life. I ruined it. I guess I'm responsible. This is true, but we can't fix it. We don't have the power. Can we approach the Lord like the centurion and say, Lord, I'm not worthy to have my life changed, but you just say the word. You say, Jack, I'm not even willing to pray that prayer or to say that. Can you just say it and ask him to make you willing to pray that or to believe that? Whatever your thing is, can you imagine there's enough people in this room right now, it would take days to hear your story. And the answer's the same. Isn't it bizarre? The answer's the same from this side to that side. Jesus, I need you to speak the word and the situation will be healed. Marriage, kids, job, employment, pain, health, suffering. Jesus, where else are you going to go with that? Down to Joe's Bar and Grill? Take your troubles down, you know, belly up to the bar. What's the matter there, partner? Oh, I got troubles. Here, drink this. Now you really got troubles. You got the same trouble when you wake up, but now your head hurts. Not with Jesus. This centurion is defining what he believes about Jesus Christ and his mission. You know what he says? Allow me to put it to you this way. Look at verse 8. For I also, you know what he's saying? Jesus, you and I have this in common. Follow along with me. I am a man. Jesus, you represent a kingdom. I represent a kingdom. I've been placed under authority. Jesus, you have authority. I have soldiers under me. Jesus, you have disciples under you. I say to one, go, and he goes. Jesus, you say to your disciples, go, and they go. And to another one, come, and they come. And Jesus, you said to your disciples, come and follow me. I understand that. I have servants, and I say, do this, and they do it, or do that, and they do it. And Jesus, you have servants. Here's the difference. If I have this authority on a little earthly plane, if there's a protocol on an earthly plane, how much more do you, Jesus, are you connected with heaven? I mean, your kingdom trumps my kingdom in Rome any day. I've got all this stuff on with a broom helmet stuck on my head with a spear. You're standing here with sandals and a robe. You can snap your fingers and there's a billion angels that can come to you. You completely, Jesus, in the spiritual realm outrank me. In the earthly realm, I outrank you. I'm a centurion and you're a rabbi. We're the occupier. We control you. But I understand, I've seen the truth. The truth is, Jesus, you're in control. I have the power of Rome. It's nothing compared to the power you have. I represent the emperor. He's going to die someday. You represent your Father in heaven. Could this man have already heard by now that which was recorded in John's gospel? Could it have been rumored about that it was said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, Italian pizza-eating centurions, that if they would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life? Wow. Yeah, your life and my life can be changed. And isn't it a beautiful thing before we leave this point that your life and my life has been changed by God? Have we forgotten? How can we? Point number three, and we'll end with this. What faith has to say? Faith says anything is possible with God. Look at verse 9. Anything is possible with God. Verse 9, we learn this. Possible because the Lord takes notice. I love this. When Jesus heard, circle the word heard, these things, he, circle the word, marveled at him, and circle this word, turned around, and circle this word, said. This is absolutely amazing. There's a lot going on right here. The word in the Greek, I'm going to give you four definitions of the original language used. Are you ready? Are you guys ready? Yes. All right, we're almost done. Go back to bed. Jesus heard. The word is familiar to any parent. The word is akul. It means this, for a parent to give an audience of the ear, to bend the ear toward their child, not someone else's child, but with all due respect. Not your kid, my kid. Mom, when your baby cries, you hear your baby's cry beyond any other baby crying. That's the way God made you. That's what the word means. Isn't that awesome? Number two, hang on to your seats. He marveled. The word marveled means, and it's thumazo, it means to be struck with wonder. How do you ever impress God? How can you impress God? He's got angels. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty. He's got angels there. They're singing. I mean, what do you give him? You give him this. You believe in him. How can you bless the eternal God of heaven and earth? Believe in him. He absolutely, well, listen, I'll read it to you. He's struck with wonder. He's grasped by admiration. That's what the word means. He's brought to the point of wonderment. By the way, there's only one other place in the New Testament where this word is found. When Jesus was trying to do miracles in Nazareth and they wouldn't believe in him, the Bible says Jesus wondered at their unbelief. He was completely shocked that they could be that blind. Turning, he turns. The word means he spun around on his heels. Isn't that wild? You get a picture into what happened literally. Jesus is walking along and he hears that word. Just say the word. Oh, thank you, Father. He's listening. And my servant will be healed. Seized by wonder. And then he turns on his heels. He's captured. Faith captures the heart of God. And Jesus says, he speaks. The word means to call or to invite alongside. You see, whatever is going on in your life, here's the key. Call out to him in faith. He will completely listen and turn. He'll marvel and listen. He's promised. This is the Bible. He will absolutely notice. Faith says anything is possible because the Lord will take notice. Secondly, possible because it's what the Lord is looking for. He says in verse 9, I've not found such great faith. No, not even in Israel. Man, I got a Gentile believing in me like my own people should. The Bible says in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 10, you could read that whole first 10 verses is awesome, but You know the story, the announcement. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know that. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 10, it says that he came, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. And it's a reference to the Jewish people. He came to his own people, and they did not receive him. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is sitting here thinking, man, this Italian got it. Thirdly, finally, we end with this. Faith says anything is possible with God because it's the Lord who gets the glory. Verse 10 says, and we conclude, and those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. It's amazing. Well, who healed who and how did all that happen? Did the faith of the centurion heal the sick guy, his servant? Nope. Some people might want you to believe that, but that's not what happened. Jesus saw this faith. Watch. He saw this faith in this man who was approaching Jesus and said, I'm completely humbled. Yes, don't look at my clothes. I know it speaks about the power of the Roman Empire. Ha! You are God, and I have no power to heal anybody. I can't even comfort my servant whom I love. You, on the other hand, if you just say the word, he'll be made whole. And in that humility and in that firm faith in Christ, this man leaves us from this portion as a great example of how you and I need to be. Believing in the greatness of God and seeing ourselves lost sinners who are saved by the grace of God, who now no longer are held bondage by the power of our old lives. For the Bible says that if we believe in Christ Jesus, behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. We become new creations. And no longer does the old centurion have any power. That we now follow him who is well able to take us from death to life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, What Faith Has to Say. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack, as a congregation, including our audience on the radio, by the way, we're pretty excited to start this one-year Bible experience. Can you give us a quick idea of what the one-year Bible is all about?
Yeah, listen, first of all, the one-year Bible, I'll explain in a moment. The one-year Bible is like having salt and pepper on a steak.
What do you mean by that?
And what I mean by that is this. The steak is your study Bible. Everyone should have a Bible that is a study Bible where they go through their Bible and they make notes and they get involved in their study Bible. The one-year Bible is the salt and pepper. And that is, this is a great way of keeping, first of all, our church, which is large, everybody on the same page every day of the year. But also this, a lot of people have never read the Bible all the way through. And this is a great discipline to do that because you get Old Testament, you get New Testament, you get Psalms, and you get Proverbs every day. And so I got to tell you, just for an example, in one of our men's groups just recently, a young man stood up. He's a police officer, 30 years of age. Uh-huh. He said, hey, everybody, I just want you to know, my wife and I started the one-year Bible last year, and our marriage, our relationship, and our Christianity has never been stronger because we're on the same page. And that's the key. The one-year Bible puts a family, a church, a nation on the same page.
Ooh, that's good stuff.
So it's not to take the place of your Bible study. That's what your personal Bible's for. But a family one-year Bible, that's why we do it, Davey. And we've been doing it, by the way, for nearly three decades. It's awesome as a church. It keeps people on the same page together. And there's great blessings always in the reading of God's Word.
So you can pick up your copy of the one-year Bible at jackhibbs.com. It's our December book of the month, and you can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.